आपका नाम क्या है?
अयान।
अयान, आप क्या खाते हो? डेली फ्रूट्स खाते हो। अच्छा, बर्थडे पार्टी में जाते हो तो आप क्या खाते हो?
मैंगो वाले।
हाँ,
बनाना।
हाँ, केक खाते हो वहाँ पे जो केक मिलता है? क्यों नहीं खाते आप? काओ मिल्क का होता है। काओ मिल्क क्यों नहीं लेते हम? काओ बेबी के लिए होता है। हाँ अयान, जब मम्मी को फीवर होता है तो आप क्या करते हो?
आप नारियल पानी पियो, आप बनाना जूस पियो, आप सन में सो जाओ।
मम्मी मेडिसिन खाए?
नहीं।
आप कभी मेडिसिन खाते हो?
नहीं, वो पॉइजन होता है।
पॉइजन होता है, ठीक है, वेरी गुड।
केमिकल होता है।
केमिकल होता है, हाँ। है, सबका ध्यान रखना चाहिए।
हाय, वेलकम टू पार्टनर्स इन अपब्रिंगिंग। I'm Kalyani.
I'm Himani.
And we are parents just like you.
Always on a lookout. So come join us in our endeavor as we connect with parenting experts and fellow inspiring parents to know the best practices for raising happy and confident children.
Visit partnersinupbringing.com for podcasts, videos, blogs and to connect with experts. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Partners in Upbringing.
You can listen to us on your favorite podcasting app, Partners in Upbringing, your trusted partner in your parenting journey. This is just a glimpse of how our guests are bringing up their children. Today we are joined by two extraordinary parents, Shalini and Gaurav. Shalini and Gaurav are based in Bangalore and they work in the tech domain. And their parents to 3.5-year-old twin boys. Their parenting story has shaken us to the core. They are practicing and living the concept of green parenting because eco-friendly and sustainable parenting may not cover everything that they do. They believe and practice tenderness, love, care, not just between the family and friends, but with the whole society. They are on the path of circular economy, minimalistic living, and giving more to Mother Nature than they take.
Now, what does this philosophy translate to? They are on a raw vegan diet, gluten-free, oil-free diet. And yes, their twins are also vegans, mainly fruitarians. They do not have any furniture in their house. Can you imagine? No tables, no TV, no beds. They did not use disposable diapers at all. They are homeschooling, rather nature schooling their children. They don't celebrate birthdays of their kids, so no birthday parties as well. They are running a zero waste and a chemical free household. They are social activists and work towards the rejuvenation of lakes in Bangalore. They are practicing and promoting yoga in every walk of life and follow naturopathy. Shalini and Gaurav are avid travelers. They mingle with every strata of the society and practice the philosophy of Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Shalini has breastfed her babies till they naturally weaned off around the age of 3. And she has shared her experience through her book, Inspiring Breastfeeding, A Self-Lift Journey of Breastfeeding Twins. This book is available on Kindle and on Amazon.
And in fact, today they have joined us from a park nearby where they usually spend their day working while their kids are busy playing. Isn't that amazing? We can't wait to find out more about them as parents. So now let's welcome Shalini and Gaurav to Partners in Upbringing podcast. But before we start this episode, we would like to thank all of you for your love and support. Because of you all, recently we were ranked 11th in the Indian parenting category on Apple Podcast. Thank you so much. This means a lot to us. Hello, Shalini. Hi, Gaurav.
Thank you.
Thank you for hosting us and let's do it together. Yes.
Shalini and Gaurav, the philosophy of vegan and especially raw vegan diets is not very commonly accepted. Can you just throw a little bit more light on that? Because as ordinary parents, we are always concerned, oh, is my child getting enough nutrition? He didn't eat his dals today, or he didn't eat his paneer, he didn't eat his meat. Will he be okay? And that just adds up to the anxiety. And here you are with raising almost fruitarian kids.
you know, when I was pregnant with twins, one of my friend's friend, she knew I'm pregnant with twins and she approached us, and she is on this path where she is on fruitarian diet. So she talked to us and she educated us and she helped me to join some WhatsApp group where we understand the value of being on this diet. And that's how, you know, I learned a lot. I did my research and, you know, and first I tried on myself and I saw I'm healthy, I'm doing all good. So I said, okay, let's do that for my twins as well. And other thing which I have seen, like, you know, that was a motivation for me was like, you know, when you see a pediatrician, when you see, they say you don't have to give any salt or sugar for initial some time because that is not good for your body, right? And then eventually you start introducing. Yes. So what my thinking was, if you think this is not good, why to introduce? It's better we go back and not to take any salt and sugar and go on the path where kids should be. So basically, instead of transforming them to our diet, we transform our diet to go back and, you know, join their diet. You know, we unlearned and we joined their path. That's how we did unlearning and became kids again.
No, it's beautiful, I think, what you just said, because that's how we are born.
Yes.
And you're going back to your natural self. You know, we every cuisine on the earth is available in any place in India or otherwise also. And it's amazing how you're leaving everything, all the temptations, and going back to... But I have to accept this, that we have also enjoyed eating what we cook for our children. It may have been difficult, but at the same time, it does have its natural taste. Yes. You just have to grow up to it.
Now, if it I just tell that, you know, when we try to eat salad, right? If I don't add any salt, we are just tasting the raw vegetable. They taste what nature has given, and it tastes amazing. It just have to you have to get rid of all conditioning that you have done for so many years, and you go back to the roots. It's amazing.
How do you unlearn? How do you remove that conditioning?
So basically, I'm a yoga teacher. Yeah, I do meditate and I do yoga every day. And I'm teaching that to my kids and my husband join with us. Of course, it takes a lot of patience and a lot of support group, which I have. And they, you know, when you keep getting that, this is good, and what we have learned is not good, slowly and slowly you will start going to that path. So this is the way we have unlearned what we have learned for so many years.
And just to add, I mean, on a lighter note, we, like, when we used to go to temples and see, so to gods and all, we offer fruits raw, like, so our offerings to God are that. And we as human beings are consuming cooked meals with salt, spice. So that, personally to me, that kind of triggered a thought. And kids, when they were born, they're an offshoot from the mother nature. So why don't we try this? Why don't we reverse the trend and start eating what we are offering to the gods?
That's a very interesting point there. But how does it work out when you are attending social functions? Because vegan food is not served there. So do you still stick to your diet? Do you carry your own food? How do the children accept it? Because people would be offering them regular food. It would be kept there on the table. So how does it play out?
Yes. Social gatherings, we normally carry our own food, which is cut fruits and vegetables and salads, right, for us. And but, you know, earlier when we used to go to some birthday parties, especially I'll tell about birthday parties because I didn't want my kids to be deprived of social gatherings for them, right?
Yes.
So they, you know, there it's a beautiful cake in front of them. And, you know, they're like, okay. Then they, earlier I used to stop them, but now I have not, I don't stop them. So 2-3 times they have tried that non-vegan food. And they got, you know, they could feel the difference that this food is not for me. They could have some tummy difference, like they could feel heaviness. They could feel lethargic, whatever. And after 2-3 times, my kids say, oh, it is made of cow milk. It is not good for us, not good for cow. So we will not even eat. So they are 3.5 years and they say no. And they say, and they tell them it is not good for you as well. So please stop eating. This is how we have, you know, gone through our journey of getting them feel it. I am kind of person, I want them to experience it. and just decide for yourself. I can just guide you. That's all my journey.
They are the best judges.
Yes.
I think it's commendable how, you know, they refrain and they followed you both. That's what parenting is all about.
Shalini, we hear that you have breastfed your twins until they were three and until they naturally weaned off. Now, I'm very curious because today the mothers, you know, they don't even want to do this for 6 months. They feel it's such a big hassle and it's time consuming and it's a hindrance, obstacle in their career while they're working, etc. You, while being a working mother, have achieved, I think it's a very big deal. So can you tell us what was your motivation?
I breastfed my twins for 3 years, yes, until they naturally weaned off. So
that's heroic.
Thank you. And I really want every mom to breastfeed. That's like a gift from nature for all mothers and all kids, because that is their natural food. If we start giving formula milk, cow milk, they're all not natural to their body. So eventually, long run, the kids will face health issues. That we have seen, there's a lot of study on that. But yeah, coming back to your question, motivation was very simple. I wanted to go back to my ancestors, see what they have done, not believed in the pharma industry or doctors say that breast formula milk is okay. I was motivated, but yeah, when the journey started, it was not that easy. From day one, I could not produce milk and my kids were put on formula milk in the hospital as doctors scared me their sugar levels is going down. So they were on 100% formula from day one. But as I was very strong in belief that I have to breastfeed, so I kept, putting my kids on my breast. Every now and then I will put them, let them suck even though there is no milk. And that helped me to see that milk started coming eventually. And then that was my power, wow. You know, to see that, okay, natural thing is there. Let me work on this. So I continued to do that, put the kids on my breast, even though a lot of pains. But I was strong belief that I have to come back on this, that my kids should not be dependent on unnatural food. So in the whole process, I was able to wean off the formula. I slowly reduced the formula every day. In 21 days, they were on complete breastfeed twins. So I produced from zero milk to enough milk for them in 21 days. So this is the power of determination of a mother, I can say. And if you're determined, you can do it. So that was my motivation to give the natural food to my
kids. That's really inspiring. I'm sure going to pick up a copy of your book to read more about this story. And I believe that it also identifies with your philosophy of being close to nature and going towards minimal consumption and zero waste. Because all the bottles, all the formula milk, the cans, the detergents, everything goes in the landfills at the end of the day and pollutes.
I did
your bit by saving the ecosystem of, you know, the added
chemicals or added plastics on the earth. Yeah. So it's a ready-made food, right? I'm a lactation consultant. I see a lot of mothers come to me and they say, when you have to give formula, you have to give it some 15-20 minutes of process before kid gets the food actually. Plus on the bottles, all the chemicals to clean it up, sterilizing, a lot of things come in the picture.
Yes.
So breastfeeding is a very, very natural thing and it's available 24/7 for mother and for baby. So you don't have to worry if you're traveling, you just have everything available for the baby. Right? It's as simple as that, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I want to add on the breastfeeding, even though WHO says after 2 years it is okay, you can wean off. So I would say to all mothers, this is a natural gift for the kids. Don't forcefully wean off your kids from breastfeeding. Let them be understanding. So the journey for me, how it happened, when they were almost 3 years old, we were traveling in a bus and I showed them the younger kids take breastfeed. Not that you have become bigger now. So they understood. When we came back home, I used to tell them that now you have become elder, now you should stop breastfeeding. And eventually, it became like every 3-4 days they will ask for breastfeed. Then it became every 6-7 days. Eventually they said, okay, now we have become big, we will not breastfeed from you. Smaller babies. So it was not a forceful thing and they agreed, I agreed. It was like a journey where we both ended
mutual.
Mutual thing, yeah.
Right.
So I would really recommend all the mothers to continue breastfeeding as long as you can and as long as kid wants, and naturally do it, weaning off.
Right. That's a very interesting story. Thanks for that.
It's a will. Every time I keep saying it's a will of a mother to do it. Kid is looking after you, looking for the warmth and the love and the natural thing what is there for the baby which God has given. We just have to be there for them. So if you have that willingness to do it, everything falls in place.
Right. And I think this is the same willpower which gave you a lot of energy to go without diapers for both your children.
Yes. Yes. So they never wore plastic diaper unless one or two times there was an emergency. But other than that, we had cloth nappies or cloth diapers for them to wear. And that power of cloth diaper is one thing is zero waste. Plus, because plastic diapers, you know, it's years to decompose, which is like impossible actually. If your lifetime, you cannot see them decomposed. Plus, the money, you save money also on cloth diapers. How much you spend on plastic, how much you spend on cloth diapers. It's amazing, you can save. Plus, they are very healthy for the baby skin, right? So, you don't want to put chemicals in the private area from day one. So, that was my motivation to keep them on the cloth diapers from day one. And I think older days, there was no plastic diaper, right? It was all, I used to see my families in my villages, they used to have cloth nappies, put them, like, when it get wet, just dry it off, put them against. So it was same thing. So I continued the same practice.
Actually, because then the kids also get potty trained sooner as yes. compared to the kids who are dependent on diapers.
So my twins, they were diaper free from the age 2. From age 2, they were completely diaper free. Even the night time also, they were not using diapers. So that was the power of the cloth diaper. Wow.
We were curious to know about nature schooling. Would you tell us more about that? Can you tell us what do you guys specifically do?
So I will not even coin a word of nature schooling. My way of doing is no schooling at all. Okay, we are just letting them be who they are. And I see that from day one, they're so curious, right? If you see, they're always, you know, observing you. They pick up so many words. They pick up everything what you do. So in them, they have the natural curiosity of learning. And they're so, you know, innovative. They think outside the box. So I've seen other kids who go to school. They were also like that. I've seen them growing from day one, right? But once they go to school, I see that all these things are cut off. Wings are not there for them to fly. And, you know, I don't want my kids to go through that. And if they are natural learners, so my point is take them to everything which is there, more like experiential learning. So I give them all the experiences of different modes of transport, different places. So every weekend we just travel somewhere for them to experience something new. And they touch, they feel, they ask questions, they talk to people. This is how my schooling perspective is. It's nothing like you have to learn this. There's nothing like you just learn what you want to learn. You have your own natural curiosity. Just get it going.
Like, what does a day look like for them and for you all?
So we wake up and we do one thing I want to teach and what I'm trying to imbibe in them is love and tenderness, right? So first thing we do is we just hug each other, love each other, you know, be there for each other for 15-20 minutes just to make them feel there's a family. Okay, and then they will carry on with their own family, same culture. And then we just go to, you know, a terrace because we have a beautiful terrace. Just and then we cut some fruits. Watermelon is their breakfast, which they always ask. And just then spend some time together. And then our nanny comes home. And then she takes them to different parks. We have around 4 or 5 parks which are nearby, walkable distance for them. And they just spend 2-3 hours there. And we make them talk to so many kids. So basically, it's a school for them because so many kids who are not so privileged to go to school, like they come there, they talk to them, they play with them. Like yesterday I saw them, they were playing cricket with them. They just, you know, they talk to them and they just open up. So this is here 2-3 hours and then they come back and they take bath and they have lunch. During that time I finish all my meetings and all my work, right? And Gaurav also finishes, so that's where we are managing our work. And then I try to spend 2-3 hours with them. I take a break from work and then I go back to work, and during that time Gaurav takes care. So basically we are managing this way, and evenings I have kept free after I finish my work. I take them to somewhere which is new to them every day. Maybe, you know, it's a street next door. Maybe a street a little bit far. Because nature is there and everything is new for them. If you see, they're just 3.5 years old. So for them, it's a new world. So everything is a learning platform for them. This is how we do, take them for their experiences and different practices which we are following.
So what I wanted to add was, just to give an example, when they were like between, say, 1.5 to 2 years, they could judge, like, when I take this leap, I'm going to fall down, or this is a leap I can take safely. We just observed that, they don't hurt themselves. But that kind of judgment and that kind of vision, all kids already have.
Yes.
So, in my opinion, if we just encourage that, we give that platform where Shalini was saying, they experience stuff on their own. And that's how I think, if we go back to our scriptures and all the old times, Ramayana and all, we see that's what the whole Gurukul system used to be. So it was never like a road-based learning or a specified training kind of thing. You learn with the ecosystem. That's what I wanted to add.
Yes, it was more about keeping the curiosity alive in the child.
Yes.
I believe your children started cycling also at a very early age. So can you tell us exactly how and when did that happen?
So I think I can tell when one of my kids was just 20 months old. We had a cycle at our home. I mean, somebody gifted us and they just used to explore it, right? Just to paddle with the hand and all this thing. And one day he just sat on the cycle and started paddling in the room. The coordination power he had was, it amazed me at the age of 20 months. And then next day, he's like, okay, bhaiya, can you come and sit? Like, he made other twins sit in the back with support wheels, though. Yeah, but they could, in the room, right? They were revolving the cycle and they could control the paddling along with the handle and with the other twin sitting in the back, right? The weight he could carry was amazing.
And again, if you notice, as Charlie was saying, we did not encourage them to do cycling. They just saw a cycle. For a week, they just explored that. They even made the cycle turn upside down. When we go outside, they see how juices get made. So they tried to relate the cycle to the juice. So initially, they just moved the pedal, how the whole wheel starts moving and all. And then they realized that if they keep the wheel the other side down, the cycle starts moving. And we just encouraged that. I mean, we didn't try to say anything that you have to do this. This is a cycle which you have to ride on. So week by week, on their own, we were there to help them and were required. But they did it on their own.
It's even more difficult to ride a scooter in the house.
Yes.
Because then you have to really, not bind yourself against the walls as against, when you're out there in the park. So
I'm just curious to know how you envision the nature schooling or homeschooling to unfold in the future when the other aspects of education come in. We have to abide by certain norms of the society. So do you plan to homeschool them throughout?
Basically, as we told, we just unfold things as it comes on our plate. We don't know what will happen at that age. But what I see is that my kids are very curious. We have got some books at home, right? So they just bring the book when they go to bed. Before they go to bed, they just want to read something. They ask us to read something for them. So I see that, I feel that if we don't kill the curiosity feeling that we want to learn, so I don't think there will be any difficulty for them to go to that literacy thing. They will be on their own. They will ask things, okay, mama, I need this. Mama, I need that, right? So I don't see there'll be any problem, but we don't know. We will see when it comes at that age. So my focus is right now, to be very frank, is to build a very strong human at emotional level.
At heart.
So these 7 years of their life, if you hear about Waldorf way or different ways of schooling, they say first 7 years are very, very important for the emotional and, mental growth. So my thinking is, at least let me focus on that. and let them be a strong human beings tomorrow. Be a leader, not a follower. So if, and later we'll see what happens. How do you say, Gaurav?
Yes. And I mean, to your point, if you see, like, we generally relate education to work opportunities and how are you going to earn money? Like, I think that's where we are kind of, we orient our learning journey. But if you see, even from a society perspective, Kalyani, Devani, now in the West, like, considering the future of work, how it's going to be a lot more democratic and giving more choices and options to people. And companies in the West have already started removing norms of any graduate or undergraduate degrees. So I see a positive shift even in the societal ecosystem. It's just that things are unfolding in the right way, the natural way. For us, we are pretty early in this journey. I mean, that's undergraduate and that's a far-fetched thing. But yes, I mean, we don't want them to also be deprived. At the end of the day, what they choose, we will support.
Yes.
Yes.
That is our philosophy.
Yeah. Rather, we don't really have a choice. It's no more that generation who follows what parents say.
Yeah.
By the time they grow up, it's going to be more evident in that way.
Yes.
Another thing, you make it a point that your kids mingle with every strata of the society and live to the equation of Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. Like, how do you plan this? I kind of got an idea when you said that they play cricket with whoever is there in the park. How do you make sure that this happens on a regular basis? And what are the other things that you do with, you know, the kids there?
I want you to bring this very positively to everybody. Like, you know, what we are trying to do is let them mingle with everyone. Okay, we commute in public transport. We go in metros. We go in trains. We go in bus. So usually if you say we take this every day somewhere. So basically during that time, what I'm doing is I talk to people who are sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. So I am making sure that they see that I'm interacting. So, and this is how they have started doing. Now when they see in the metro, they will say hello to everyone because I do that. So this is how they're learning, you know, a social skills. But this is how I'm doing. And other thing is that, you know, we have our house, right? So we sit in our porch next to our gate, right? So this is a very random thing which I do. When people are walking, right, going to office, going to school, going to college, kids and all, we just randomly say hello and say, how are you, and have a great day. Very simple gesture we do. And what we see is the reaction from people is that people, you know, I'm telling you, people are stressed today. Everybody is stressed. And the moment they see somebody randomly say hello with a smile, the smile automatically comes on their face. Right? Yes. And then they will also feel, for some seconds, they will be happy. They will say, they will revert back. And this thing, now my kids have started doing. When they are standing near the gate, somebody is walking, they say, hello, how are you? Have a good day. This is how simple things, if you do in your day-to-day life, you really don't need to, you know, think big and, you know, you think school is the only place for social skills. No. Everywhere you need social skills. Everywhere there's a platform for them to learn these things. And you are the role model for them. If you do this thing, they will do. They're just observing you, what you're doing.
I'll just say to that, don't create any boundaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to your social circles, do you also mingle with people who are, or parents rather, who are of the same belief system and values?
It would be tough to find them.
Yes, we haven't found anyone so far. but what we try to do, we don't restrict ourselves to meet, and we just meet everyone. Okay, we meet people who are eating non-veg also. We don't stop. Only thing what we are trying to do is we educate them through our way of living. That's all. We don't force anyone.
We don't force.
Yeah, we just tell this is how we are living. It's up to you. Yeah. But, and also, we are not stopping ourselves from mingling anyone. We mingle everyone you can think of.
Yeah. And I'll just take you from a Bollywood film. So the hero says over there that learning is everywhere. So you just get into a classroom. For us, we treat everything like as a classroom. So which classroom you like, you enter, you learn, and then you come out and then go to search for another classroom.
That's the only way to learn. Otherwise, it is more of following. That the teacher is doing this, I should do this. And less of learning.
Yes.
Wonderful. Would you like to share something on your experiences with naturopathy? Because especially for young children, it is very natural that they fall sick every other month. And as parents, it's very tough to see them suffering or having high temperature, cough, cold, fever, all of that. Allopathy is a quick relief. But I believe you guys are trying to keep away from it as much as possible. So how has your experience been?
Yeah, so till now, my kids have not touched any medicine so far. And touch wood, this is how they are living. And one of the experiences I had, like when one of my twins was, I think, 15 months old, he got very high fever. Vyan. He got very, started with boils on his body, and then he had a fever around 104.5.
Oh, dear.
Which is like scary for a mother, right? And but then, you know, I told you, one of my friend, Dr. Prashanti, she always, you know, made us, she was the pillar for us to come on this path. And she was there for me to support. She like, okay, Shalini, don't worry. As a mother, I understand what you are doing by not giving any medicine, not doing anything, just letting it, you know, heal the body. That's what we feel. The fever, cold, cough is the way of body self-cleansing. And with the other twin clinging to me, and you know that 15 months old twin Vyan was on breast 24/7 because he was also having pain, right? 104.5 is not a small fever, like it's a high fever for him. It was burning. And I am one thing I would like to add here, from the day, because I was available for both of them and I was breastfeeding them, somehow my twins are very empathetic. So the other twin, even though he was just 15 months old, I used to tell him that your brother needs me more. So he used to come to me and just take breastfeed from me and just go to nanny and or his father and just let me be with my other twin. This is how they supported each other at the age of 15 months, which is commendable.
Yes, jealousy is very high in those few years.
Yes.
But did you not give any medicine at all, or was it some natural medicine? Nothing.
No, we don't believe in medicine.
So, medicine. As parents, if you can take that journey, understand it, and just stay on it for a little bit long, that's the best path to be with.
Do you believe in vaccinations?
So, vaccination, I will say that, so the doctors themselves, I would really appreciate. So, they showed us what's written in the finer print on behind the vaccine. So, the vaccines are being administered at the risk of the parents or the guardians of the children. And there is that 5% probability that the vaccines might impact in not a positive way. But that was the first point, Kalyani, which kind of... really stuck us that what are we actually giving the children. Fundamentally, if you ask us to your question, we would say after reading what's written in the finer print, we do not believe in vaccines.
The standard recommended vaccines up to the age of 2.5 and 5 years, have you administered that to your children? None of them. Okay.
No, we have.
Interesting, very interesting.
If any of the parents are inspired, can you give them some starting points or some tips? Or even if, you know, parents can bring in 10% change, 10-20% change in their daily habits, in their daily, you know, usage of things. Can you give us some starting points or tips for that, please?
I think starting comes from you only. It's if you really want to do, nature will support, as I said, and small things during your day routine, like we carry our own straws when we go for coconut water, we carry our own tumblers when we go for juices, we don't use any disposable, we, you know, and then when we travel, we try to use public transport, saving the earth from this thing. Small steps, if you take, that is a big in the long way, and you can save Mother Earth from that. And slowly, when you are on the path, you will find something will keep on adding on your path. No, start one step and slowly things will come on your plate. This is what we have seen in our journey, and I would like people to experience that and start somewhere.
And also, I think another important aspect is be open.
Yes.
Because we have been born, brought up in a certain way, conditioned, if for lack of any better word. So it is all the more important that we keep our minds, eyes and ears open, and we make the choices what we want to make, not depending on what is prescribed, written, guided. Explore, like Shalini, when so she was the one who kind of brought us on this journey, all three of us. It was very tough, having been brought up on the northern part of the country in India, where like milk is a staple diet. At least I was not convinced. So we did a lot of research, we spoke to a lot of folks, doctors in the West. I think that really helped us, and when we did it ourselves, we could feel the difference. And that's what is important. I think once you start feeling the difference, the change, and that's when you start adapting. So, I mean, from my perspective, I would just say that we need to be open and, I mean, just explore and make decisions on our own, not on behalf of others or not being guided by someone. I think that would be a significant step.
Very well said there. And that is the biggest gift actually we are giving to our children, that they are believing in themselves, they are being themselves, and are having a more greener earth to live their future lives in.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Gaurav and Shalini. It's been wonderful talking to you. And it's been really, really very inspiring as well.
Thank you so much.
Same here. Thank you so much for hosting us here. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Before signing off, we have a small request. If you like what we do, please subscribe to us on the app you're listening to, give us a 5-star rating and drop us a review. Your small actions make a big difference to us. Please do share our podcast with your friends and family to help them raise happy and confident children. If you'd like to know more about Partners in Upbringing, do visit our website partnersinupbringing.com. We also conduct parenting webinars with experts. So if you would like to organize one exclusively for your school or organization, do drop us a message on Facebook or Instagram at Partners in Upbringing, or you can email us on contact@partnersinupbringing.com. We would love to hear from you. If you have a feedback or a comment or a suggestion, or if you would like us to cover a particular topic on the podcast, please do write to us. Meet you again in the next episode of Partners in Upbringing with another topic and a new expert or an inspiring parent. Until then, goodbye, stay safe, and happy parenting. The content of this podcast is the copyright of the makers of this podcast, Partners in Upbringing. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered as professional advice unless stated. Please refer to https://www.partnersinupbringing.com for further details.